Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Vov. We left off more or less in the middle of a discussion, but in order to get back into things, let us glance at the side of the Gemara where we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. A double underline appears, and we started this series at the end of our last shiur, but nevertheless, these are the double underline highlights Dvorim Shishtanu Shmoisem Michi Chorav Beis Chorav HaBais. These are a list of items that underwent name change, or actually could even say name flip around, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And there's a note here that this goes till Omid Beis. We also have diamonds, and this is the point that we'll be picking up with in today's shiur. As you can see, the double underlines continue, but the diamonds feature Abayi and Rav Ashi. These are Amoroyim Shemosifen al Harashimo HaMekori Shel Dvorim Shishtanu Shmoseim. These Amoroyim are adding to the list, the original list. And Rishima is a list, Mekori, the original list of 3 items. And you can see in our Gemara, we had numbered them. Here they will add 2 more items which underwent name change. So the Gemara, Omar Avaye, Af Onu Nomar. We too will add to this list and say, Huvlila Bekosi, Bekosi Huvlila. The part of the animal, this is a halocha in the realm of, or the name change has to do with the organs of digestion of an animal, and it has to do with the topic of trephus, where there is a problem in some aspect of an animal that will affect its kashrus. The huvlila and beikosi are 2 parts of the multiple stomach system of an animal. The organ that originally was called huvlila is now called beikosi or beis hakosos. And that which was originally called Beis HaKosos is now called Huvlila. L'may nafkamina, what practical purpose does this have for us? Answer, L'machat shenimtseis be'uve Beis HaKosos. A needle that's found in this particular stomach of an animal. A needle that is found could present a problem of trephus. When it comes to the Beis HaKosos, part of the stomach system of an animal, it has a rather thick wall. This particular organ has a thick wall, and as a result, the mitzad echad shira, if a needle is lodged in the Beis HaKosos that has a double stomach lining, and it penetrates only one of the 2 stomach linings, that's mitzad echad shira. The Beis HaKosos, or the whole animal, as a result, will remain kosher. If, however, the needle in the Beis HaKosos penetrates both stomach linings, then it will be a trefa. This is true only of the Beis HaKosos. However, the huvlila part of the stomach system, if the needle is wedged in the stomach lining, it will render it trefa. Rashi points out that the huvlila is also known as the hemsis. This problem of a needle lodged in the stomach lining is such that even if it doesn't penetrate it through and through, but it's simply lodged in that particular stomach lining, in the case of the hemsis, which is also called the huvlila in our Gemara, it will render it trefa, because it's a very thin lining at that point. Whereas by the Beis HaKosos that has a double stomach lining, if the needle is has penetrated one of the two stomach linings, it remains kosher. So now, for us, the name change is such that nowadays the organ that's called Huvlila is really what was originally called the Beis HaKosa. So that which is called today Huvlila is that which has the double stomach lining. Omar Ravashi, Af Anu Nomar. We too will add another name change. Bovel, Borsif, Borsif, Bovel. It has to do with geography. That land region, which was originally known as Bovel, is today called Borsif. And that which was originally called Borsif is now called Bovel. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Lamai Nafka Mina. What practical difference does this have for us? Legite Noshim. The Rashi has two pshatim on this, and the second pshat is what we will learn right now. The Ani Omer, Rashi says, that I believe that the point of Nafkamina Legabi Gite Noshim is as follows. Legite Noshim Le'inyan Shino Shmoyu Shmo V'Shem Iroi V'Ira Posel V'Tzorach Lichtoiv Shem Shel Achshav. In the case of writing a get, information contained therein must be very accurate, including names, accurate name, spelling, and accounting, as well as place, so that if a person comes from an area that, or we'll call it a country, that originally was called Bovel, and today it's called Borsif, if you write that he comes from Bovel in a contemporary get, that will be unfortunate, and it will render the get puzzle, because you have to write the name that is used today, so that if you have a person who lives in something that was originally Bovel, but today it's called Borsif, if you write Bovel in it, you'll be misrepresenting things, because we go according to the way names appear right now, and that which is today called Bovel is not that which was originally Bovel. In other words, the person who's, let's say, divorcing the woman, you have to write his name and his address. So if this person comes from a place that originally was called Bovel, you had better write that the man who's divorcing his wife is from Borsif. With that, we conclude the second perek of Shabbos and now begin the third perek. Before we begin this perek, let's take a note of the Nosei heading in the margin. We've written here Nosei Klali and Mivneh. We have a general heading and a structural note. So the diamonds that you see in the Mishnah are Chomrei Be'ira Shonim, different fuels for heating an oven. And the Mishnah and the sugya that we're about to embark upon deals with Dine Shehiya V'Hachzora. These are halachas that are in the general realm of bishul. So that maybe just a general word before we speak about shi'ah and hachzorah even, but one of the avos malachas of Shabbos is the isur of bishul and afiyah, of cooking and baking. The perek itself, this third perek of Shabbos, is actually broken into two parts. The first half of the perek deals with halachas regarding cooking and related matters, and the second half of the perek deals with dinim of muktzah. The terms shi'ah and achzorah, shi'ah means leaving a pot of food on or in an oven, and hachzorah is a case where something was removed from the oven and you want to put it back on the oven. In terms of areas that are we could afford to be more lenient in a general manner of thinking, would be the area of shihiyah, which is a more of a passive situation. You're just our interest is, can you leave a pot on the fire, on a stove? And hachzorah would require more more we'll say halachic allowances to ensure that you could do that. We've highlighted in the Mishnah different fuels. Kash gvava would be straw and stubble. Gefes would be eitzim. Eitzim is wood. Gefes is the what Rashi calls psoilus shel shumshamin shehotzi shumna. After you crush sesame to produce oil from it, whatever remains from it is the gefes. And that is a substance that could be used as a fuel. We are very concerned when it comes to dealing with a kira. Kira is an oven, is that you won't come to stoking coals. So we're going to see in the Mishnah fuels which present a problem, and the problem will be solved possibly by what's called goruf v'kotum, which is a scraping away or a moving away of the coals or covering them with dirt or ash. What would this process of goruf v'kotum accomplish? So Rashi and Tosfos deal with this. Rashi seems to say that it will enable the heat level to be reduced. Tosfos says no, but rather it will serve as a reminder that a person shouldn't come to stoke the coals. Let us now learn the Mishnah. Kira shisikua bekash ubegvava, a stove that was fueled, heated up with kash ubegvava, straw and stubble, noisnin aleha tafshil. The word noisnin is a term that will be the central discussion of the opening sugi of the perek, so we won't try to commit ourselves right now, but it has to do with noisnim aleha tafshil. You can place upon such an oven a pot of food. Begefes uveitzim, if the oven was fueled with gefes or eitzim. So lo yitain ach yigroif oi ach yitain asaifer. And as we said, the word noisnim, and more importantly, lo yitain, we've dashed underline this because the Gemara will be focusing on how to translate lo yitain. So it has to. We're not going to commit ourselves yet, but if it was fueled with gefes reitzim, so one does not place on such an oven ad shiigroif oi ad shiitin esefer, until he pushes away the coals, pushes them to the side. Of course, he would have to do this erev Shabbos, or until he covers them with ash. Beishamai omrim chamin avol loy tavshil. Beishamai says that the only food that we can entertain allowance for would be hot water, but not cooked food. And ubeis hillel omrim chamin v'tavshil. Whatever allowance we can make for hot water, we can make for cooked food as well. Beishamai omrim noitlin avoloi machzirin. Beishamai says, all we can allow you to do is to remove a pot from the fire, but once it's removed, we will not allow placing it back on. In other words, Beis Shammai forbids hachzora. Ubeis Hillel oimrim af machzirin. And Beis Hillel says, not only do we allow shehiya, to be more accurate, not only do we allow the removal of a pot, but we will allow even hachzora. So according to Beis Hillel, it's clear that you can leave pots on the fire, and even if they're removed, you can place them back on the stove. Rashi adds a few points here. The problem of restoring or returning something to the stove, Beis Shammai said lo machzirin. He says b'Shabbos, you don't put something back on an oven on Shabbos. D'mechzi k'mevashel. It creates the impression that you are cooking something. And Beis Hillel says you can even put something back on. And as far as mechzi k'mevashel, well, it doesn't really give that impression because the coals have been scraped away, have been pushed to the side. So it's clear then that in order to allow the return of something to an oven, you would have to make sure that these coals were gorof or kotum, were scraped or pushed to the side or covered with ash. The question that the Gemara will deal with, do we require gorof or kotum for shehiyah as well, for leaving things on, for merely leaving things on throughout Shabbos? Before we begin the Gemara, let's note at the side, we have our nosei mifinehedin, and we have an indication that this discussion will continue till Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. It's a rather long discussion, carrying us down most of the way Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. We have a double underline, and this highlights the expression of lo yachzir or lo lishois. Birur, the sugi here will do birur ma pirusho shel lo yitain the katoni b'mishnah. The Mishnah, and we had dashed underline the expression so you can spot it pretty quickly. The lo yitain expression. We also feature an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text to enable you to see exactly where it is more easily. The expression lo yitain, is it a lo lishos? Is it don't even leave things on the fire? Oy lo lahachzir. Sheilas mafteach. The key question is lomot sorach gorof ukotum. What is the reason, or for what do I need to do the grufo tuma, the pushing aside of the coals or the covering of them with ash? Lahatir af shihia. Is it coming to allow even leaving something on? Oidavko hachzora, or does it come to permit the return of things to the stove? But as far as leaving things on, you wouldn't have to take care of the fire with gorof ukotum to begin with. That will constitute the opening question of the Gemara. We have a long question marking she'ela. And it's a question in the Aleph Oidomo Bays structure, and we've noted the two sides with those lettering, with that lettering. Before you see the Bays, you'll notice the squiggle-lined Oidomo, where we try always to squiggle-line the point at which there's a transition. So we give you side one of the question, and then the side Bays, the side two of the question. Eventually, we will come upon triangles. You'll notice that the triangles appear in two directions. One with the point facing upwards, and when the Gemara continues to Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, you'll notice that the point flips over. So, in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, we won't finish the Sugya in this particular Shiur, but we want to get a flavor of the Sugya by noticing that the triangles will appear in two different directions. We've also used a numbering system indicating the points at which the Gemara starts a new attempt, and that is seen by the triangles that are numbered to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. So that you see a number one over here, this will be the first stage in trying to clarify things. And on Lamed Zayin, Omed Aleph, a flipped-over triangle is denoted with a number 2, several lines from the top, and then another triangle, number 3, appears a bit later. Now, the reason for the triangles in the two directions, we have noted the triangles under our Mivneh heading, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. With the point facing up, that represents something, L'toivas Rabbonan. There's a machloikis in the Gemara between Rabbonan and Chizkiyah. So this will look Rabbanan and Hananya. The point facing up, we're going to say that's L'toivas Rabbanan. The boy Gorof V'Kotum Afilu Lahachzora. They require Gorof V'Kotum. We should say Afilu L'Shihia, even for Shihia. With the triangle facing down, that's L'toivas Hananya, that says the L'shihiyah lo boi gorof v'katum, derak lahachzora bo'inon. Hananya will be of the opinion that for Shia, for simply leaving something on the stove, you don't need to do Garuf HaKotum. The Garuf HaKotum is something that is necessary only when it comes to allowing the return of a pot to the fire, but not for the initial, not for the simple Shia leaving it on. So this sukkah requires the ability to keep track of what, where one is holding at each stage. And hopefully with our markings, we will meet with success. We begin the Gemara. Ibaya Laho. Noting, of course, that this is the beginning of a long question. The shin that's encircled with the following dashed vertical line indicates the length of the question. Hi lo yitain. The lo yitain expression that you saw on in the Mishnah, the second third line from the beginning of the Mishnah, with a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text where you can see where the original lo yitain was from. That lo yitain, does it mean lo yachsir hu? That you are not to put a pot that was removed from the Kira on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it back unless there was Garuf HaKotum. Avo lishois mashin. But as far as leaving something, as we said before, passive, you're just leaving it on the fire from before Shabbos. Af al pi she'eno, Garuf v'eno kotum. Even though there was no Garuf HaKotum done, it's okay, because it's passive. You're simply leaving it on from before Shabbos. Umoni, and who would say that? Hananya hi. That would be according to Hananya. And if we skip this source for a moment, just to continue, just to keep the flow, you notice, Oy Dilma Lishois Tnan, or maybe the Lo Yitain means don't even leave it on, unless it's Garuf HaKotum. So now we go back to read the source that features Hananya in it. Desanya, Hananya Oimer, Kol Shehu Kamaichel Ben Drusoi. Any food item that has been cooked to the Maichel Ben Drusoi level, we're not going to get into the background of that, but we're simply going to say that it's a level of cooking, either some say a third cooked or a half cooked. So anything that's been, it's reached the level of Maichel Ben Drusoi, Mutter l'shoisei agabi kira afal pi she'enu goruf v'enu kotum. You can leave it on from before Shabbos. You can leave such a pot of food even though grufa or ktuma was not done, even though you didn't push aside the coals or cover them. You left them as they were. Oy dilma l'shois tnan. Or maybe when it says in the Mishnah, if the fire was, if it was fueled, the oven was fueled with gefes of eitzim, Lo yitain means don't even leave it on until you do Garuf HaKotum. The e Garuf HaKotum in, if the coals were Garuf HaKotum, then you can leave it there. E loy loy. And if you didn't do Garuf HaKotum, you can't even leave it there. Leave the tashil on the kira. The kol shekein lahachzir, and certainly you would not be allowed to be machzir. And that would be the approach of the Rabbonon that disagree with Hananya, they being more stringent. Ta Shema. So in order to settle the question of who is the author of our Mishnah, and what does Lo Yitain mean, does it mean you cannot return something, but you could, as far as Shehiyah, leaving it there, it would be okay even if it wasn't Garuf HaKotum, or does Lo Yitain mean you can't even leave it there, on leave the tashil on the kira, unless it was Garuf HaKotum. So we now attempt to resolve this with the following Toshma, and notice how long the attempt is. We have an encircled Tuf Shin abbreviation of Toshma to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of this is designed to develop the attempt at resolving the issue. We also have a triangle with a number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating this is the first attempt installment. At the top of Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph, the inverted triangle will appear simply to indicate that this attempt is reversed, or we can explain things otherwise. And we also noted that the triangle with the point facing up, this is in the direction of something, the Toivas Rabbonon, that you'll need Garufukotam even for Shehiya. So we continue. Toshma, Midikotoni Trei Bavi B'Masnisin. From the fact that there are two sections in the Mishnah, we will find that things will make more sense according to the approach that says Lishhois. So let's first read quote from the Mishnah. Number one, Beishamai Oimrim, Chamin Avalo Tavshil, Ubeisil Omrim, Chamin Vitavshil. Beishamai says, only hot water can we make some allowance for, but not for food that's cooked up in pots. And Beisilil says, Ubeisil Omrim, Chamin Vitavshil. Whatever allowance we can make for Chamin, we can make for Tavshil also. Beishamai Omrim, Noitlin Avalo Marzirin. Beishamai says, you can remove something, but you cannot put something back on the fire on Shabbos. According to Beis Shammai, there's never an allowance for Hachzorah. No Beis Hillel Omrim, Af Machzirin. Beis Hillel says, we can make an allowance for Hachzorah as well. The question is, what about the first section? What was the point in the first section? So, the Gemara goes on. E amrs bishamo lishois tanan. If you say that the Mishnah represents shitas rabbanan, and that in order to allow shehiyah you'll have to do goruf katum, then hachi katani. Then the Mishnah will read smoothly with the following approach, and we've put a frame around the next number of lines to indicate this would be the understanding of the Mishnah. Kiroshi sikua bekashu begvava, mashna leo tavshil. An oven, a kiro that was fueled with straw and stubble, you can do shehiyah. You can leave things on there. Begefes of eitzim lo yisheh, ad shigrof o ad shiitein efer. If it was fueled with the sesame debris or wood, so you're not allowed to leave things on until you do Goruf HaKotam. So here we've dashed underlined Lo Yisheh, because this is the, we'll call it, replacement term for Lo Yitein. This is the defining term for what Lo Yitein means. So that if it was fueled with Gef Seitzim, you can't even leave something on there until you did Grufo or Tuma. Uma Hein Mashin, what can one leave on? So, Beis Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil. Beis Hillel Omrim Chamin V'Tavshil. Beis Shammai says you could leave only hot water, but you can't leave on it pots of food. Beis Hillel says you can leave pots of food as well. But under what circumstances will Beis Hillel say you can leave Chamin V'Tavshil? Well, if it was fueled by Gesef V'Eitzim, you will be able to leave it on, provided you did Grufo K'tumah. The chihechi de pligi belishois, and just like there's a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding leaving things on, pligi nami bilahachsir. They also have a machlokes concerning putting things back on, even though the food has been, let's say, removed from the oven on Shabbos. The question is, can you put it back on? So, just like we saw machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding shihia, so too by Hachzora. Beis Shammai is strict here as well and says you can remove but you cannot put things back on. And Beis Hillel says you can even put things back on. Of course, if it was fueled with Gefes Eitzim, you will have to do Grufuk Tuma. And that, by the way, is everyone agrees with that. That in order to allow Hachzora, you'll have to do Grufuk Tuma. But the point is, the reading of the Mishnah is smooth, will make sense if you say that the Lo Yitain Achitain Sefer is Ktuma, makes sense if you say that the Lo Yitain meant Lo Yisheh. Don't even leave something on unless you've done Grufuk Tuma. Eloi Amris Lahachzir Tanan. If, however, you say that the lo yitain expression means lo yachzir, however, for shihiya, you don't need to do anything, even if it was fueled with gefes of eitzim, so then hachi katani, then it's going to, the Mishnah is going to read as follows, and it will not be a smooth read, as the Gemara will point out. So we've put a frame around this section, also presenting what would be imagined to be the Tanaic source. So if you say that lahachzir tanan, that lo yitain in the Mishnah meant don't put something back on, but as far as shihiya, you wouldn't need to do anything, well then hachi katani, it will have to read as follows. Kiro shisiku bekashi begvava machziran aleo tafshil. If it was fueled with straw or stubble, so you can put pots that were removed, you can put them back on the kira. Begefes of the eitzim loy yachzir, and consistent with our marking scheme, we dashed underline lo yachzir like we dashed underline lo yisheh, because this is coming to define what lo yitain means. So if it was fueled with gefes of the eitzim, the sesame debris or sesame remains and wood, then lo yachzir, you can't put something back onto the fire, onto the kira, ad shiyigrof o ad shiyitain efer. Umohei machzirin, what would one be allowed to put back on? Beishamay oimrim, chamin avolo tafshil. You can put back on a hot water, but you will not be allowed to put back on the kira, a pot of cooked food. Ubeisilo omrim, chamin vitafshil. Beisilo says, you can put both back on. Beishamay oimrim, not lin avolo machzirin. Beishamay says, you can remove, but you cannot put back on tafshil. Ubeisil omrim af machzirin. Beisil says you can put back on even tafshil. Now, as we focus on our markings, we dashed underline the opening of Beis Shammai, where they said, Beis Shammai says, chamin avolo tafshil. So what's Beis Shammai saying there? You can't machzir tafshil. And then we have after that another citation of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Shammai says you can remove chamin, but you can't machzir tafshil. But did we not hear this already, just the line before? The Gemara goes on, Hossu Lomali. What do I need this second presentation of Beis Shammai's Hillel when that was already contained in the first presentation? Just if we focus again on the structure and the markings, Beis Shammai, the first wide line at the end, Beis Shammai says, Chamin avolo tafshil, you can't machzir tafshil. And then at the end of this quote, it said Beis Shammai says, Notlin avolo machzirin, you cannot be machzir tafshil. Well, that's a repeat of what was just said. So that in order for the Mishnah to make sense and not to be repetitious, it would be most advantageous to explain the lo yitain as being lo yisheh. And when Beis Shammai says, chamin avolo tafshil, they're talking about not being mashe something. Beis Hillel, and then the second installment, if you will, of the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, introduces Beis Hillel and their allowance for Hachzora. And as the rereading of the first approach said, just like they have a Machlokas by Shihia, so too they have a Machlokas regarding Hachzora. So that would be new information. But if you say that the Mishnah is read as lo yachzir, but for shihiya you don't need to do anything, so then the Mishnah would be redundant. The second installment of the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel would be saying the same thing that the first installment had said. The Gemara at the top of Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph, you can see the inverted triangle. Li Oilom E Malach Lahach Sirtan. And also, just take note that this is a long answer. It's a long answer, you know, it's a long defense, or if you will, it's a long dechia of the conclusion we tried to reach. So the Gemara says that the Olam Eimaloch Lahach Sirtan. I can tell you that the Mishnah is talking about Grufa Tuma to allow Hachsara, but for Shir you don't need to do anything. V'chisurei Mechsura V'achi Kotoni. And the Mishnah was originally terse, and to understand the Mishnah more fully, we'll now reread the Mishnah with the extra expressions that would make things clearer. Kiram shisikua bekashu begvava machzirin oleo tafshil. And a kira, an oven that was fueled with stubble and straw, or straw and stubble, your machzir, you can machzir, you can put things back onto such a kira. The gefes of eitzim lo yasir achi yigrofo achi yitena. So efer, if it was fueled with the sesame remains or logs of wood, you cannot put things back on unless you do gufer tuma. Avolishois mashin. But as far as leaving things on, you can leave without doing any gufuk tuma. Umahein mashin. Well, what would you be allowed to leave on the kira? Beishamayor mechamen avalo tavshil. Hot water, but not pots of cooked food. Ubeisil omrim chamen v'tavshil. You would be allowed to leave on hot water and cooked food. V'hach chazora di amri loch. And the chazora that we mentioned before, that if it was fueled with gefetz eitzim, so you'd need to do gufuk tuma. But that point of chazora is lav divrei alkohi. Not everyone agrees with that. Ela machlokes beis shamai ubeis hillel. That issue is, can you put things back on, is a machlokes beis shamai hillel. Beishamai doesn't allow any return of things. Once something's been removed from the kira, you can't put back anything. You can even put things back on. So with our rereading, we can understand the Mishnah as the expression of lo yitain really means lo yachzir. And as far as the redundancy is concerned, no, there's no redundancy. The first installment of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel focuses on the issue of Shihia, and the second installment focuses on the issue of Hachzora. As you can see, the triangles continue, the marking scheme continues, but we are in the context of the Daf Yomi Shir, so we're in effect in the middle of a sugya, but we'll have to pause here for today. So with this, we conclude our shiur for today.